If you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2, Ephesians chapter number 2 this morning, I'm so grateful for the special music. I'll tell you, one challenge of being a very new church is trying to find special music and things for special days. And I am glad that we have these young people that have come down from a college just north of here to help us out this morning. If you would just join me in thanking them this morning for coming down and doing that. It's a blessing. It's an absolute blessing when people can help out a ministry, amen? And I'm just glad that God gets the glory for that, but we're thankful for the help that they've been to us this morning. Ephesians chapter number 2, and I just want to direct your attention to verse number 11 this morning. Ephesians 2 and verse number 11, and really there's just two words here I want us to look at here at first. Ephesians 2, verse number 11, and I want you to notice here these first two words. The Bible says, wherefore remember. Wherefore remember. Now, I know that in this passage here of Scripture, Ephesians chapter number 2, these two words set the tone for this chapter of Scripture. We're going to remember some things about who we were and what Christ was doing for us and who we are now because of Christ. But I think it's also appropriate for Easter Sunday. Because really, Resurrection Sunday is a time for us as believers to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, I understand that we've got many things probably to look forward to today. We've got meals that are ready for us. How many smelled the ham on the way out the door this morning? I can already tell, I can already hear some rumblings of stomachs, you know. You're thinking about that ham you're going to have after the services this morning. We've got time with family. We've got Easter egg hunts. We've got many wonderful things that are going to take place today. But let me submit to you this morning that the most important thing that we can focus on is the risen Savior this morning. To remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for both you and for me. And here in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 11, the Apostle Paul is racking the brains of these folks here at the church of Ephesus and is calling out to them to remember some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore, remember. I remember one night I was winding down from my day at work. And I was in bed and I'd already pulled up the covers. How many of you are like me and that's your favorite time of the day? The job is done, the children are put to sleep somewhere in their rooms, and you're finally in bed, and you've wound down, you're getting ready to saw some logs, you're getting ready to have some dreams, and this is an important part of one's day. And I remember having the covers pulled up over me and have turned over, my eyes already were beginning to close, and I had already started to pick out my dream. I thought, yeah, this is where I'm going with this. Okay, good, let's go, all right? And all of a sudden, as if background noise was occurring, I heard this voice from over on the other side of the bed. And it's my wife. And she says this one phrase to me. Honey, do you remember why you love me? How many, when you're alert and awake and have had 12 cups of coffee, that's already a difficult question to hit you with, right? And at this point in time, I've got the covers pulled, my eyes are closed, I'm picking out my dream, and I hear the voice of my wife asking me, honey, do you remember why you love me? So I did what any guy would do. I pretended like I was already asleep. And I even started to make the noises, you know, and I snorted and huffed a little bit, and I was looking for a way to get out of this conversation because I was tired, and I didn't really know where this was going anyway, all right? So I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's a heavy question to ask me at the end of my day while I'm picking out my dream. And she persisted. And she said, honey, and I just couldn't pretend anymore. I had to turn around and engage in conversation. And you know, for the next probably half an hour or 45 minutes, what it did is it gave me the opportunity to recall in my mind all that my wife meant to me. And for that time, I was able to take something that I wasn't prepared for, and yet I was able to turn it around. And I was able to tell my wife how much I loved her and what she meant to me. And from that moment that I saw her and I observed her testimony at the school that we went together, and I saw that she was a godly woman, and I knew that she would be a good mother, and I could begin to thank her for all the wonderful things she had done for me. It was a sweet time of fellowship between me and my wife. I had a great dream picked out, but this turned out to be okay. And I'm just hoping that this morning on Easter Sunday, we can maybe just jog our memory, just for a short time, to remember all it is that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. I'm hoping that we'll get to the fun. We're going to have a great day. There's lots of family members here. We've got guests here. And we're going to go home. We're going to eat hams and Subway and whatever it is that you want to do for Easter Sunday. But let me just calm your mind now just for a little bit, and let's begin to think and contemplate and understand and meditate on what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and me. I want us to start out here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, because it sets the tone here for what the Apostle Paul is going to talk about. Notice with me verse number 1, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened." Now this word quickened here is an old English word that literally means to be made alive, to be brought back from the dead into life. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here to the church of Ephesus is he's trying to get them to recall the things that Christ has done for them, is he's reminding them that they have been brought from death into life. "And you hath he quickened," or made alive. And I think it's important on Easter Sunday that we realize something. There are many people who've gone to a sunrise service already. You're sitting here in this service. Many have spent time in prayer. Many have spent time in planning and in preparation. Many have spent time in calling family members. But this day will be completely lost if we do not recognize the fact that we only have this day because we have a Savior who is living today, and we can be alive in Him. If we don't come to that realization this morning, if we don't come to that understanding this morning, then really the purpose of this day is lost on a bunch of good food and fun. But I want you to know something. He has been able to quicken you and me. Now the first thing that I want us to notice this morning in this passage that Paul will point out is I want you to remember who we were without Christ. I want you to remember who we were without Christ. First of all, we see here in verse number 1, the Apostle Paul points out that without Christ, we were living in death. Without Christ, we were living in death. Notice with me, again, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Let me ask you a question. Are you alive this morning? Well, part of us are. Hey, pinch the person next to you. See if they're alive this morning, all right? Are you alive this morning? All right, so most of us are breathing. If we put glasses up to our face, we'd fog it up. That's good, okay? If you got up and tied your shoes and took sustenance and did all these things, that's a good thing. That means you're alive this morning, okay? But just because you're able to rise up out of your bed and put your shoes on and make your breakfast, hey, you may be living, you may be breathing, but you may not really be alive this morning. And the Apostle Paul is reminding this church of Ephesus. He's saying, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." This church at Corinth here had recognized who Christ was, and because of all that Christ did, these folks had moved from death into life. They've been quickened or made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember as a young man really enjoying the company of my great-grandfather. We lived in Iowa, and my great-grandfather loved to fish. How many fishermen do we have in here this morning? All right, so those are the real holy people. I just want you to know that. You know, God called fishermen to do his work, right? So I loved to fish, and my great-granddad loved to fish. He had a big boat. We'd take it out on the Mississippi River. We'd take it out on the Cedar River. And man, I just loved it. He'd turn on a Cubs game on the radio station, and we'd listen to that, and no booze on that, right? And he'd put the bait on our hooks, and we'd have the Cheetos and the Doritos and the sandwiches all around us, and we'd cast our lines into the river, and we'd talk to each other and have a great time, and hopefully reel in some fish while we were having a good time. And I just loved my great-granddad. It was great. He'd stand up in that cabin cruiser, he'd say, "Son, you got to do it like this." And he'd show me how to cast that line out. And then that guy was alive, and it was neat to see him. I remember when he passed away. I was, I think, around 12 years old. I remember standing in the memorial service when people were going up to the casket and paying their respects, and they had an open casket funeral. I'd never been to one of those before. I was a young man. And I was in line, and I got to listening to some of the ladies that were up in front of me. I don't know who they were. They were related to us in some way, shape, or form, but they were talking to each other. And as they were leaning over my grandfather's casket, they were saying to each other, "Boy, doesn't he look good? Boy, they just made him look so lifelike, and he looked so good." I got to thinking to myself, boy, they didn't see my granddad out on that boat casting that line and smiling and the life in his face and just the love and zeal for life. They didn't see that, or they wouldn't be saying that about this guy who had some paint on his face and a tie on. Listen, my grandfather was dead. And these ladies were talking about how lively he looked. Listen, you know what? You can put a good suit on this morning. You can put some perfume and cologne on. You can put on a smile on your face. But let me tell you something. Just because you've done some things to the outside does not mean this morning that you're alive on the inside. But I'm glad this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for us to be quickened or made alive in Him this morning. We can know and experience eternal life because of what He's done. He's telling these folks and reminding them of who they were without the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "And you hath He quickened," verse number one, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." We have a lot of people who are pretending to have a life today. We have a lot of people who are existing but are not living. We have a lot of people today that are trying to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of life this morning, but are not consumed with the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. There's a lot of people living, but a lot of people dead. We can have life in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. We find that this death is inherent to us. This death is passed on from generation to generation since Adam. And this death is not something that we can get away from on our own. But notice with me in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says this: "Wherefore, as by one man," this one man being Adam, "sin entered into the world." And what's the next word? "Death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You may have been born alive when you came into this world, but you were also born into a dying state. How many understand the statistic that 10 out of 10 people die? It's just something you can't get away from. And I want you to know this morning that that death is brought on because of man's sin. Notice with me, Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23. The Bible says here in this passage, "For the wages," or the earnings, "of sin is death." But I'm so glad for this last part of the verse. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." How many are glad for that this morning? Listen, we are living in death. We understand that our sin brings on death. But I'm so glad this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ made a way for us to have that life eternal. Death is something that we're born into. It's not something that we can get rid of on our own, but I'm so glad for John 3:16. Turn there with me in your Bibles. John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now I want you to notice, though, the next couple of verses. John 3, verse number 17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And he that believeth on Him is not condemned." But I want you to notice the last part of this verse. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." This death is something that is condemned upon us because of the sin that we have in our life. But as we'll find out here in a moment, that sin problem can be taken care of. The next thing I want us to know this morning from our text passage back in Ephesians chapter number 2, turn back there with me. Ephesians chapter number 2 is not only were we living in death, but we were being led by the devil. We were being led by the devil. Now, I got a lot of eyes that looked up at me when I said that. That doesn't sound real kind this morning. Pastor, I came for an Easter sermon. I'm supposed to be happy and joyous so I can go eat my ham, buddy. What are you talking about? Well, bear with me here. I'm just talking about what the Scripture says. The Bible tells us this morning that without the Lord Jesus Christ, we were being led by the devil. Notice with me verse number 2 this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. Notice, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen, if we are not under the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, hey, you're under somebody's influence. And without the Lord Jesus Christ in us and His Spirit within us, we are being led by the cares of this world, in whom the prince of this world controls those that will be disobedient. We are under the influence and leading of the... How many have a TV? How many of you have ever really just turned that thing on and watched what's coming over it? It is unreal what we allow in our homes. You want to know something? We wouldn't typically just pull random people off the street into our home, set them on the couch next from us and our kids, and have them start swearing at us. We wouldn't take random people off of the street and bring them into our home and have them do all the wicked things that we see them do on TV and just set our kids down and watch them do it. But what we'll do is we'll turn on the TV and just have it into our home. And what am I saying this morning? I'm just simply saying this. Hey, there's a lot of things that influence us in the world today. And will we agree this morning that not all of them are good? And the point I'm trying to make is if we're without Christ, if we're without His principles, if we're without His Word, if we're without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're being influenced by is this world and this world system and the philosophy of this world, and we're living our life in such a way to get what we can for ourselves, and we're ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ. But how many are glad this morning that if you're a believer, you've got something to live for this morning, amen? And you've got an influence from Scripture and from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory this morning. And I'm glad that at the end of the day, I can shake off the joke of this world, and I can go to the Bible, and I can go to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, and I can have a real life, and I can live a life for Him. I'm glad about that this morning. How many are tired after a week of work? How many are tired after the people you work with during the week? Listen, there's a lot of things that bear us down and that load us up, but I'm glad for the refreshing power of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and we have that because He lives. Because He lives. We were being led by the devil. Listen, I know that might sound cruel, it might sound harsh, but really, the influence of this world is all we know if we don't know the risen power of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're being led by the devil. The other thing I want us to notice from this passage is not only were we living in death, not only were we being led by the devil, but we were loving ourselves. We were loving ourselves. Notice with me here verse number 3 of Ephesians chapter number 2. The Bible says this, among whom also we all had our conversation. This word conversation means manner of living or behavior. So it says here, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And what the Bible is simply saying here is that without the Lord Jesus Christ, before these people came to know Christ as their Savior, they were loving themselves. How many of you here understand we love ourselves pretty good? How many of you looked in the mirror at least once this morning before you got up? Or how many just got up and you said, I don't need that, I'm good, and you came on in? I don't know about you, but I got to check myself several times the older I get before I go out in the morning. Make sure something else hasn't oozed since the time I brushed my teeth. And we have a certain pride in ourselves, and we have a certain love for ourselves. How many have things that you like, that you go to the grocery store that you shouldn't probably buy, but you love yourself, so you're going to get them, right? And we buy ourselves all these things. We love ourselves and really without understanding what it is to have the sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ and embracing that. Listen, all we really have in this life is ourselves, and I think that that's seen in our culture today as the divorce rates rise and children despise their parents and parents sometimes despise their children, and there's rifts in families and there's rifts in homes and there's rifts in cultures and societies. Listen, the reason why this takes place is because we're all selfish at heart, because we all love ourselves and we all tend to put ourselves above the other person, and we like to try and mask it, and we like to discipline ourselves, and we like to do the best that we can to say we look out for the cares and the needs of others. But really, at the bottom line, we're going to look out for ourselves. But I am so glad for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am so glad this morning that when we come to know that love, that that love can fill our hearts and can fill our minds, so we can be the right husbands this morning, so we can be the right wives this morning, so we can be the right children this morning, so we can be the right parents this morning. Hey, it's all because we have a risen Savior this morning. And we need to understand what the love of God is and how important that is in our hearts and in our lives this morning, because simply put, without the love of Christ in our hearts, we really love ourselves. How many have been in the car with your spouse and you're trying to find a place to eat? And we'll pretend like we love the other spouse, won't we? We'll say, well, what do you want, honey? And they'll say, well, no, what do you want, honey? And we're good pretenders. No, I care about you, honey. Tell me what you want. And finally, one of the spouses will say, well, let's go to Burger King. And the other spouse says, nah, I don't think so. I don't want that. I don't feel like that today. Listen, that's with our own spouses, right? Listen, what we need to understand is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And that sacrificial love through which He gave of Himself for us. And then rose again victoriously over sin and death, that we might experience His power and His love in our lives. And we can be all that we need to be in Him. We find this morning that we were living in death. We were led by the devil. We were loving ourselves. We see what we were without Christ. But let's take a moment. Let's get a little happier this morning. And let's talk about what Christ was doing for us. While we were in this miry pit, let's talk about what Christ was doing for us in our lives. First of all, I want us to notice that Christ, while all of this junk was going on in our lives, Christ was mobilizing His assets. He was mobilizing His assets. Notice with me verse number 4. Verse number 4 of Ephesians chapter number 2. Notice this. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Notice with me verse number 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. You know, God could have showered us with provision to try to keep us happy. God could have tried to placate our selfish desires by giving us everything imaginable under the sun. It was within His power to do that. But I want you to notice the resources that He mobilizes. Hey, He was rich in love this morning. Hey, listen, He was great in His mercy. He was great in His grace. He was wonderful in His kindness this morning. These were the resources that He mobilized to give us. He knew that the material possessions would wear out and fade in our hearts and our minds. How many have ever bought a new car? How many like the smell of a new car? How many have ever put children in a new car? How many know the smell changes when you do that? And we find that things that we buy and that we accumulate for our lives, they may please us for a time, but that wears and it fades. The Lord Jesus Christ knew that He could not permanently satisfy that lustful quench that we have in our flesh. So He did something greater, something that is far lasting than any silver or any gold. Listen, He mobilized His love and His mercy. He mobilized His kindness and His grace. He came from that home in heaven where He sat on the right hand of God, and He made Himself of no reputation, and He took upon Him the form of a servant, and He was found in the likeness of men, and He paid the price for our sins upon the cross. He mobilized His assets toward us. How many are glad that our Father in heaven was rich in love and in mercy toward us this morning? How many are glad that He was rich in His grace and His kindness this morning? He was mobilizing what he knew would fill that desire that we have in all of our hearts. Do you realize that when we're born with an empty space? And we try through our sin to fill it, through many of the devices of this world and many of the appetites of the flesh. But it is an awesome thing to sit across the table from somebody for the first time. And as they've tried to pour in a bunch of what this world has to offer that will not satisfy, to sit across from them and share with them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to watch that person bow their heart and their mind before the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to receive the precious gift of eternal life to fill that void. And it's great to watch that smile come over their face. And it's neat to watch that temperament of peace enter their life and their heart. And it's awesome to see a new child of God born into his family because they have taken hold of that which can permanently satisfy, and that is the assets that God has placed before them. What an awesome thing that is. We see what Christ was doing. He was mobilizing his assets, but not only that, he was making a way. He made a way. Notice with me, verse number 8. Ephesians 2, verse number 8. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved. And listen, God had enough grace. He was rich in his grace, the Bible says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, it could not be based upon what we would do. Our salvation, our birth into eternal life could not be based upon our works or the good life that we would live or the good intentions that we would have in our heart. Listen, Jesus Christ had to mobilize his assets, and he had to pour out his grace and his mercy in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he died on that cross, he made a way for you and for me to come to him in a permanent relationship that we might know and taste and see what it is to have eternal life today. But then not only that, he didn't just die. He was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, he showed that the sacrifice had taken. He had shown that he had completed the work of God when he raised again, victorious over sin and death. How many have tried something that hasn't worked out before? How many have ever been on a diet? And it's amazing, we get excited about something and then it fails us. And then we get excited about another thing and it fails us. And it doesn't seem to take. And something might work for somebody else, but it doesn't work for us. And we become frustrated. And I find that people in religion become very frustrated. You can never know if you've done enough. You can never know if you've placated a certain amount of good works that you're supposed to do. You don't understand if you have eternal life or if God will allow you to come into heaven. And I find a frustration out there in religion today. But I'm glad that when religion doesn't have the answer, when the government doesn't have the answer, when the church doesn't have the answer, that the Lord Jesus Christ had the answer when he died upon that tree and when he was buried and when he rose again victorious over sin and death. Jesus Christ has the answer this morning. He is the risen Savior. Now there will be people that will tell you, I've tried that Jesus thing. I've tried it and it didn't work for me. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. That's like saying, I got a membership at the gym, and it didn't work for me. How many have been there? Yeah, you've bought the membership, and you've threatened to go. But you know, it really only takes when you mean business with it, doesn't it? And many people will say, I've tried that Jesus thing. And they had no intention in their heart of ever giving up on that life that is not sustaining. They had no intention in their heart of ever really plugging into the family of God. They had no intention in their life to really give up all of those things that the world has to offer, to seek that which Jesus Christ has to offer. They didn't try Jesus. They talked about trying Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus works for everyone. It doesn't matter your race, your creed. It doesn't matter how you were brought up. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter where you live in the community. Jesus Christ works for everyone this morning. The Bible says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus works for everyone. Why? Because he is the risen Savior. You can go to the tomb of Muhammad and the bones will still be there. You can go to the tombs of the prophets of the Old Testament, and the bones will still be there. You can go to the tombs of the sages throughout history, and their ashes will still be there. But let me tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is alive, and because He's alive this morning, we can have eternal life through Him. Jesus Christ has made a way this morning. He has made a way. That's what Jesus Christ was doing. He was mobilizing His assets. He was making a way. Now, lastly this morning, I want us to focus on what we are now because of Christ. What we are now because of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there are some wonderful things that come with that. Let's look at that this morning from this passage. First of all, I want you to notice that we are fellow citizens. We're going to read through a little bit lengthier of a passage here as we continue to complete the verses here in Ephesians chapter number 2. So please look in with me at your Bibles and bear with me as I read through this passage. We're going to start reading with verse number 11 and pick up where we started. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. What we've already talked about, we were without Christ. Now notice, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But notice this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made close or nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you that were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now I want you to notice something after we read that passage. I want you to notice who we are now in Christ. First of all, we are fellow citizens. The Bible had said here in this previous passage we were strangers. But now we are fellow citizens. Notice with me verse number 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. I'm glad about that. How many of you like coming to a new place when you don't know anybody? I imagine several people had some trepidation in their heart this morning. Well, what's this new church about? They keep knocking on my door and bringing me plates of food, and they're weird. I don't know if I want to go. It's going to be strange. I'm going to be a stranger. How many really like to be a stranger? You feel like everybody's looking at you, right? Nobody likes that. But how do you like it when you come to a place and it's, hey, I'm glad you're here. Welcome. Grab a donut, doing good, glad to see you, and you're accepted. Isn't that a great feeling to be accepted? And the Bible tells us now, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's done for us, we are no more strangers, we are no more foreigners, we are no longer pilgrims that are wandering without any kind of fellowship. We are now fellow citizens of the grace of God. How many are glad about that this morning? In the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of what He has done, He has made us to be no longer strangers, but we are fellow citizens. How many like a place you can belong? I like supper time. My family and I actually sit at the table, and we sit down together, and we tie our children to the chair, and we sit down together, and we talk, and we fellowship, and we eat together, and we pray together. And let me just tell you something. I love church. I love being here preaching. I love you people. But I would not trade one moment around my family dinner table for 1,000 moments like this. Now, I'm not being rude to you. We're all here this morning, and we're excited about it. But how many know what I'm talking about, of that complete acceptance? You can say whatever's on your mind. You can say whatever's on your heart. You can pour out your life to those people that are on that table. You can plug into their life. There's just something awesome about that. But let me just tell you something. When you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He does His work in your heart and in your life, you're no longer strangers. Give me a high five, Paul. We are accepting of each other. We know, hey, listen, we don't look at each other and say, well, why is that person wearing that? Or what's that person doing? Or that was strange. No, we say, hey, he's one of me, I'm one of him. We're no longer strangers. Why? Because what do we have in common? We have this grace and this mercy and this love and these things that we've just read about that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we don't have to feel like strangers anymore. I'm so glad about that. This is what God has made us. We are fellow citizens. Not only that, but notice with me, and this is where I pull everybody back in again with the whole family thing. Notice, we're not only fellow citizens, but we are family. Notice with me, verse number 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. I'm glad that I have you, if you're saved and bought with the blood of Christ and your faith is in him, I'm glad to count you as my brothers and my sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I have a family. I don't know what your family situation was like when you were growing up. I don't know if your parents took good care of you. I don't know if you were loved the way that you felt you should be loved. I don't know if you were slighted. I don't know what happened to you in your family. But hey, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now part of the greatest family imaginable. You are at the table of God. You are part of the household of God this morning. Many people I find in counseling with them have some bitterness and some anger, maybe things that have taken place in their own family, rifts, things that have divided, things that have come apart. I am so glad that in the Lord Jesus Christ, he can put things together again, aren't you? Listen, we serve a risen Savior. Listen, we need families to be risen with Christ. We need people and individuals to be risen with Christ today. We need people to get together and to say, hey, enough of this junk that this world drags us down with. Hey, we no longer have to be part of that. We no longer have to have the same relationships the world have. We no longer have to try to satisfy ourselves by fitting into whatever crowd we feel is the best crowd. Hey, I'm part of the family of God this morning. Saying, Pastor, you're getting excited. Hey, I've got a family. Who's not excited when you don't have a great, big, wonderful family? It's an awesome thing. And we are part of the family of God this morning if we know him as our Savior because of what he has done. Not only that, not only are we fellow citizens and family, but we see in verse number 20 through 22 that we're also fitly framed. We're fitly framed. Notice with me here, verse number 20. The Bible says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Aren't you glad about that? He's the foundation we're built on. In whom all of the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It's where God lives. Hey, listen, we're a small church. We just started 6.5 months ago. We're going into our 7th month. I know we don't have a lot of the things that maybe some people have in church, but hey, how many are glad that church is not about the rugs and the pews? How many are glad that church is not about the decorations or the screens? Hey, listen, all those things are great, and you can plug them in and use them, and as we grow, we'll have more resources that we can use, but I am glad that it was a bare, empty tomb that held my Savior. I'm glad that he was come and born in a manger in a stable. Listen, God doesn't need a bunch of fancy things for us to meet together and be a family that is built for his habitation. How many are glad about that? Because I wouldn't meet that requirement. How many of you understand that God doesn't need to use us? But how many are glad this morning he desires to? He desires to use little old you and little old me to do his will and his work. I can't get over that. That is amazing to me. You know what? To be used by God and be fitly framed, you need to know God and plug into a place where you can serve him, and that's what you need to do. You don't have to pass a credit application. You don't have to submit a resume. You don't have to do this or do this other thing. Hey, I am glad this morning that Jesus Christ is sufficient for me, and when God looks down, he doesn't see wicked old Brian or he doesn't see useless old Brian, but he looks down and he sees his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in me, and he says, I'll use that guy. And you know, he will look down at you if you know Christ as your Savior, and he'll say, I'll use that person. I'll use him. You may think to yourself, man, I don't have anything to offer. I can be part of a church. I can plug in somewhere and serve him. I don't do anything. I don't have any talents. I don't have any abilities. I don't have anything that I could use. When you came in this morning for Easter services, if I grabbed you, the first thing I did was grab you and took you back to the light switches back there. And I said, look at these light switches. These are awesome light switches. I want to tell you, I don't think you could find a better light switch in this world. These are amazing. What would you have done? You'd have said, well, this was fun. We're going to go eat our ham now. See you later. It wouldn't seem right for me to go back and just point out the light switch. It's insignificant to you. It wouldn't be what you came here to experience this morning. It doesn't have any real intrinsic value. But when you come back, if you came back in the evening, and we're having our Bible study and our evening service, and it was dark in here, and we didn't address the issue that there was a light switch in the back, that light switch would all of a sudden become very, very important. And what I'm simply saying is this, you may not think you have a place to be fitly joined in the household of God, but if you are saved, you are equipped with everything that you need because the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and rose again for you, and he will equip you to do that which you are to do, and you, my friend, are extremely important to God. But the problem is many times we don't let him turn on our switch. We sit back and with all of that power of the resurrection, we leave him in the grave and we don't experience the power of the risen Savior by allowing him to reach down and turn on our little switch to release the power of the light of his gospel through our lives. If we are truly going to make something of this Resurrection Sunday, if there's one thing that we do today, let's make it this. Let's ask God to turn on our switch for him. Let's ask him to reach down and to flip the on switch to our Christian lives. And let's see the gospel light pour out from the tomb that we've been hiding it in. We are fitly framed in him. This morning we've just taken a short time just to reflect and remember what Christ did. We've seen this morning who we were without Christ. We've seen what Christ was doing for us. And now we've seen what we are in Christ as we know him as our Lord and Savior. Let's all stand this morning, our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking around this morning. I don't know why everyone's here this morning. I don't know why you came this morning. Perhaps you were just coming because family invited you or because you just knew that it was Easter and you wanted to feel like you were doing something for God. But maybe, just maybe, as we remember what Christ did, the risen Savior was revealed to you again. Maybe you're here today and you've never developed a relationship with the Christ who died for you. Maybe today you don't know for sure that you have trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe there's never been a time in your life where you've recognized your sin before God and you've recognized the fact that Jesus Christ came to die for that sin and to make you alive in him. Maybe you've never been quickened. Maybe you've never been made alive. This morning, we're not going to embarrass you. We don't want to call out your name. I just want to pray for you. If this morning you are uncertain about your relationship with God, you do not know if you know him as your Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand this morning? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around this morning. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to come back to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Anyone else? I'm just not certain I have started a relationship. I see that hand this morning. You may put it down. Anyone else this morning? I am just not certain. I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Listen, he is risen for you and me. We can experience his power in our lives if we will accept him. Christian, maybe this morning it's been a while since your switch has been turned on. Perhaps you understand all that Christ did, and there was one time you were on fire for God, but now it seems like the light has gone out, and it's been a while since you've taken time to remember all that Christ has done for you, and you need to fall in love with your Savior once again so you could be used by him. Christian, this morning, we're not going to point you out. We're not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. This morning, Christian, if you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me that I would just be on fire for God and that God would do a work in my heart and I would restore and renew my relationship with the risen Savior? Would you raise your hand this morning? I just want to pray for you. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see that one. I see that one. You may put it down. I see those hands. You may put them down. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this Resurrection Sunday. We're grateful for the truth that we found in your word today. Thank you so much for all that you have done for us. I pray, Heavenly Father, as this invitation is given, that you would work on hearts. Heavenly Father, if there's someone here that does not know you as their Savior, or if they're even unsure, I just pray that you'd work in their heart. Bring them forward during this invitation time that we might have somebody show them from your word how they can know for sure that they've trusted you as their Savior. Lord, I pray for those who have already trusted Christ in here this morning, that, Lord, you would move upon their hearts and that, Heavenly Father, if there is a need for them to even bow right where they're at, in their chair where they're at, and just take a moment to reflect again on what you've done for them, that you would just renew their spirit. For today we serve a risen Savior. As the piano plays this morning, if you need to do business with God, maybe you raised your hand, you said, I'm just not sure that I have a relationship. Would you come forward? We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you this morning how you can receive that risen Savior in your heart and life. This morning, Christian, if you need to spend time with God right where you're at, in your chair where you're at, would you just spend time praying to God? Have Him restore that fervor in your life for the risen Savior. As the piano plays, would you come this morning?